Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Air Purifier Thunderstorm. The three-pack is back. To order, go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code Howie3. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Can you believe it is already Thursday? I thought this was going to be a rough week for me, because it was my first full week back in action. But it really did cruise by. And hopefully this show is also just smooth sailing. A lot of news to get to today. Also a lot of fun to get to. Thursdays, as everyone knows, is Woker Joke, brought to you by Aviva Trattoria. So we'll have that coming up in the 1 o'clock. We've got Mark Salinas joining us at 12:30 for a legal view on Alec Baldwin's bizarro interview with George Stephanopoulos. I don't know if people saw. I don't think the full interview's out. It was just kind of like a preview, a teaser.
Cucumbers.
How you say trailer? It looked like a teaser. But it was very strange. Very strange. And you know what it was, Jared, is they set it up for people who have been living under a rock. If you didn't hear about what happened, it was very, very sad, horrible, tragic situation where Alec Baldwin, I guess I should say allegedly, because he's disputing this, shot a cinematographer on the set of a movie he was also producing and starring in. Her name is Helena Hutchins. And just very, very sad. She was, I think, in her 40s, a young mother, by all accounts, a wonderful, talented person. And something went awry. There, someone made a mistake. And the consequences were devastating. This woman is now dead. And for a long time, people couldn't figure out who was to blame. You know, there seemed to be shifting blame to the props director, to Alec. Obviously, he was going to get some of this blame. I mean, he is the lead. He's the major star in this movie, and he's producing it, and he was the one holding the gun. So it made sense that he was going to be the person under the most heat for this. And so I've been watching it play out. And I'll be honest, when I come on this show, my go-to is to talk politics, because I always fear that one person who calls up and says, you don't have better things to talk about than Alec Baldwin. But the truth is that when people are around, people are in their cars, people are around their kitchen tables, people are talking about this. This was a big story. I talk with the mailroom manager about this like every single day. What happened? How did this happen? And it's not the first time it's happened, but the scenario was strange. And then afterwards, people on the set started saying, this set was not safe. We had complaints. One guy said, I didn't take the job because it seemed so messy and chaotic. I didn't want to take it on. I'm paraphrasing, but that was the gist. And so then Alec Baldwin sits down for this interview with George Stephanopoulos. And I assume he picked George because George is known for softball interviews. I mean, if he had watched the interview George did with Joe Biden, he was probably hoping that maybe George would go in the back room afterwards and, you know, edit it up like a good director would, splice it up, put it all together. What he should have done is he should have had Jussie Smollett sit in, and Jussie could have given them some direction on how to make this interview go a bit smoother.
Alec, make sure you wear a noose.
We'll get to that in a little bit. Did you read that? I can't. I'm going to get distracted here. There's just too much news. So the trailer comes out. And honestly, I thought it was a little classless how they set this up. The dramatic music, making it.
Consider the source.
Alec, you took the words right out of my mouth. I should consider the source. It's ABC. They have no shame. I want to remind everyone, I believe ABC was the same network that killed the Jeffrey Epstein story because they didn't want to tick off the royals. Was it ABC or NBC? I think I'm right, Jared. He's double checking for me so we don't get in trouble here, but I think it was ABC. So ABC has this interview, and George Stephanopoulos is doing the interview with Alec Baldwin, and they put out the teaser for it, and it's so dramatic, and it's, I don't know who to believe. I was correct. Yes.
You were correct.
One for one so far today. It was ABC. They killed the Epstein story because they didn't.
I was thinking of the other networks that have killed the Epstein stories over the years. My apologies.
They spiked it because they did not want a reporter to mess up their chances of getting an interview with like Prince William or something. And the reporter, I'm blanking on her name. I think it was Amy something. She revealed it all on a hot mic. It was pretty amazing. Now, the point being, Alec Baldwin sits down with ABC. They cut up this thing. And in the interview, the key here is, the reason I'm talking about it, is because he dropped kind of a bombshell on George Stephanopoulos. He said he did not pull the trigger. He said he did not pull the trigger. To which we all say, what?
Wasn't me.
I mean, that I've never heard of something like that. We talk a lot with Toby about, you know, demystifying guns. People look at guns and they go, ooh, spooky, the gun's going to hurt me. And I'm not downplaying gun violence, especially not today, the news week we've had. All I'm saying is that it does require someone to pull the trigger. And even George Stephanopoulos was thrown off by that. Now, my main takeaway from this, and I'd be curious if anyone else wants to weigh in here, and I was actually on Newsmax last night, I was talking to Grant Stinchfield about it, and I said, I don't know who's advising this guy. Like, I don't know if it's a PR person, if it's Ilaria, but he's getting the wrong advice because this is not like, oh, you got into an argument with someone while trying to park your Range Rover in New York City and you threw them against the windshield. He's dealt with that before. This isn't like a little hiccup. This is a big deal. This is when you bring in the A-team. This is when you bring in the lawyers. You don't go and you don't start riffing with George Stephanopoulos about how you didn't pull the trigger. And furthermore, I didn't even think about this, but I brought this up to one of my editors and I said, kind of strange that he's saying he didn't pull the trigger. And my editor pointed out, well, they're definitely going to have footage of it. She was a cinematographer.
Yeah, this is potentially negligent homicide. I mean, we can obviously clear that with Mark Salinas at 12:30. I don't want to misuse the term, but there's a potential murder charge here. You don't screw around with this. You get lawyers.
You get lawyers.
You go by the book, but not Alec.
But Jared, this is why. And when I said this yesterday, I said it to Grant. I said, I don't know who's advising this guy. Like, wouldn't you tell him to shut up? And he said, and he hit the nail on the head. He said, it's this arrogance that some of these guys have. These Hollywood types, these political types, they have this arrogance that they're going to talk their way out of it, that they're going to be so charming or so convincing in a sit-down interview that the world is going to go, oh, yeah, that adds up. You know what? We were going to sue him, but you know what? Maybe we won't. And all I could think of was Andrew Cuomo. You know, charge after charge or report after report was coming out about Andrew Cuomo, and he kept doing press conferences and just going on and on and talking slower and slower and explaining away why he wasn't guilty of anything. And I was amazed because I thought he has a lawyer sitting somewhere in his living room watching this, pulling his hair out, saying, will you please stop? Will you please shut up? But he wouldn't.
I do on occasion say, ciao, Bella.
It's the hubris of these guys. They don't think they think they're untouchable, and this is a very, very weird case. And then on top of that, in other news, we have Jussie Smollett. And if people have been tuning out of this, I highly encourage you to read some of the reports coming out of this courtroom. It's hysterical. I mean, it really is a hilarious, it feels like a spoof. This guy convinced these two brothers from Nigeria to pretend to attack him. And one of the brothers was on the stand yesterday for like 4 hours. And the detail that went into this, like, I want you to say this. I want you to use these words. And, you know, don't take an Uber because they'll be able to track you. And then send me a sympathy letter, a condolence letter a few days later. This was, I don't want to say well thought out, because most of us could smell that something wasn't right here, but a lot of planning went into this. And I guess that does bring us to the poll question. We might as well do it now, Jared, because I want to know if people agree with me. Today's poll question is brought to you by Phillips Chocolates, Boston's oldest chocolatier. A tradition that spans four generations. You can purchase them in-store or online just in time for the holidays. Go to PhillipsChocolate.com and use code GRACE to save $10 on a purchase of at least $100. Make it Phillips Chocolate for that perfect holiday sweet treat. That's PhillipsChocolate.com and use code GRACE at checkout. I don't normally do the poll question this early, but we got to ask the question, Jared.
Will Jussie Smollett face any jail time?
First reaction from me is no. But then I read the details of this. He wasted so much time, so many resources. He really, really wanted to boost his career. He played these two brothers. He convinced them that he would help them, you know, get acting gigs. I guess they were in the biz too.
Right. I think they had been extras on Empire at
one point. Yeah, stand-ins or fill-ins or something. I'm going to say yes. If I'm sitting on that jury, I'm like, this guy, this smug dude should be in jail.
Well, what he has working against him, too, is that the Chicago police were not happy at all about this. They were upset with the prosecutor. So I'm not going to say the police are gunning for him, but law enforcement in Chicago kind of wants this guy to go to jail.
He should.
But only 32% of the audience think yes. 68% say no. Because of the track record of what we've seen.
Yeah, but you know what I'm starting to think about our audience, and this is like a Boston thing, is that we really lower our expectations so that we can be pleasantly surprised and so we won't be disappointed. And I think you guys did this earlier in the week with Chris Cuomo. You didn't think he was going to get suspended or fired, and he did. So I go glass half full. I see him doing jail time. The funniest part for me was when one of the brothers is like describing the whole scene. Oh, and he told us to come here and yell MAGA and the whole thing. But Jared, it gets
MAGA.
Better. He says, and I'll read the exact quote, but I'm just going to give you an idea of it. Jussie wanted it in a specific place because they had the camera and he wanted to get this on camera. It's a bold move.
Did he want his good side? Is that why?
And so they describe the scene. They say everything went according to plan, except for the camera wasn't on, or except for the camera was facing a different side of the building. And I'm like,
always shoot me from the left.
So it all went according to plan, but we didn't capture any of it. This thing was doomed from the start.
This would make Saved by the Bell blush in terms of just harebrained schemes.
Yeah, no, it really would. And it makes you think like, you know, Jussie, I know you're an actor, but I think your true passion was directing. Maybe we could have channeled that.
Every actor wants to be a director.
Yeah.
They do. Every athlete wants to be a musician.
Yes.
Every actor wants to be an athlete, and every actor wants to be a director.
You know what my nanny used to say? Everyone wants to be a singer.
Yep.
Everyone wants to think they can sing. Very few can. I wouldn't want to be a director. I'd want to be a producer. Just slap my name on it. As long as it's not one of Alec Baldwin's films, obviously. Yikes. Celebrate the season at Aviva Trattoria. Aviva serves Italian classics with culinary flair and is the perfect place for a holiday get-together with family and friends. All the Avivas are so festive, especially around this time of year. They are warm, cozy places, beautiful restaurants, and the food is absolutely delicious. Whether you like house-made bolognese, marsala, piccata, any of the classics, that's what I really like. But they also have a lot of twists on classics. Like if you want a pizza, but you want to try something new, you can get what Jared likes, which I believe is the farmhouse pizza.
The farmhouse pizza. It's great. It's got a balsamic barbecue sauce, chicken, bacon, leeks. I never thought to put leeks on pizza.
No, they're delicious.
Honey mustard drizzled. They have a shrimp scampi pizza that is out of this world. And they're regular. If you're not a fancy pizza person, they're regular. The cheese, the pepperoni, the sausage, whatever toppings. The pizza is fantastic.
We got to stop doing this read around lunchtime because now I'm starving.
And they do have a lot of gluten-free and gluten-sensitive options.
They really do, especially for an Italian place. So if you have someone in your family who's gluten-free or celiac, this is definitely the spot to try out. This season, give the gift of Aviva to you and your family and friends. Visit AvivaTrattoria.com. For special holiday gift card offers or visit Aviva's locations in Malden, Maynard, Marlboro, Westford, and Wrentham. And by the way, Aviva sponsors Woke or Joke, which is coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. So stay tuned for that. You can win a $50 gift card to Aviva. What a perfect time to be able to visit. We'll be right back. We'll take your calls on this. If you want to talk about Jussie Smollett, I'm down to talk about it. If you want to talk about Alec Baldwin, let's go. Or if you want to talk about, and we got to get to this, Dr. Fauci. We didn't even get enough time yesterday to break down that press conference. What a complete phony this man is.
Yeah, he was really ready to go, too. That's all I'm saying.
And did you hear what MSNBC said? It's like I want to pack it all into the first segment.
Yeah.
We got to save that. We'll save that. All right, 844-500-4242. We want to hear from you. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
It wasn't in the script for the trigger to be pulled.
Well, the trigger wasn't pulled. I didn't pull the trigger.
So you never pulled the trigger?
No. I would never point a gun at anyone and pull a trigger at them. Never.
No, it wasn't me. It was the one-armed man.
The other problem with Alec Baldwin, and I saw a lot of people responding to these cuts with this same thing, is that because he's such a well-known actor, and he's played a lot of out-of-touch jerks. Like in 30 Rock, he plays a really wealthy TV executive who is a pompous ass. So when he does that whisper voice where he talks like this, it's hard not to think that he's acting. And I don't even know if he is, though, because he broke down and cried and said it was the worst thing that ever happened to him. And part of me fully believes that. I mean, the compassionate side of me thinks, of course, it's the worst thing. Of course, he never wanted this to happen. But there are people out there who are like, this is all an act. I don't believe that. But I just want to let people know what's circulating on conservative Twitter.
It doesn't take a great actor to recognize a bad one. He's sweating, as they say.
Oh, I can't say whether or not I was ever a great actor, but I mean, he cried and it looked real to me. Do you not believe him, Jared? I think he does.
I feel bad. I believe he feels terrible because I believe he shot somebody and killed them.
Yeah.
Now I don't believe anything he's saying. Now I think he is in full denial, control, spin.
And it's possible. Mode. I mean, it's possible that he pulled the trigger and didn't intend to pull the trigger, but I don't think it's possible that the gun went off by itself. And I'm not a gun expert. We have one of those on Tuesday, but I don't think that really makes sense. Eric, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Eric.
How you doing, my BFF?
Hi, Eric. I'm good. What's going on?
Hey, I need you to shed some insights and help me understand how the hell Fauci has been impervious to being thrown out of his position. How has this guy just been able to just maintain where he's at? If it's any other person, they would have been gone a long time ago.
Well, here's the craziest thing, Eric, is John Heilman was on MSNBC, and he said, this was the stupidest take I've heard about Fauci for 2 years, and that's really saying something. That is tough competition. He said that if we followed Fauci, COVID would be over, and Republicans don't want COVID to be over. Do we have that sound? I got to play this.
On Fox News a couple of nights ago, unchallenged, prominent media figures comparing Dr. Fauci to a Nazi doctor.
Yes.
Completely unchallenged by the hosts and by the panel. And they're all nodding along because that is part of the narrative. If you go to the far reaches of Facebook, that's been a story for a long time, that Fauci's profiting off the vaccine, all these things that aren't true. And that moves into the mainstream of conservative media, and it becomes gospel that he's a villain, and that somehow he's asserting his power by trying to get people vaccinated and protect the American public from this disease that's killed 700,000 people.
And it's because if people follow Fauci, there's likelier a chance that COVID will go away. And if COVID goes away, it's bad right now for Republicans. It's just the math on this, the political math on this, is not hard to figure out.
That feels like fuzzy math to me. And by the way, John, how long have we been following Fauci? Or how long should we continue to follow him? Is it 2 more weeks? 2 more weeks to flatten the curve? This is absolutely insane that he says, if we follow Fauci, COVID will end. We've been following him for 2 years. COVID is not ending anytime soon. And also, it's good for Republicans to keep COVID going. Oh, yeah, because we're big fans of the mail-in ballots. And I just want to say one other thing. I know what they're referring to. They're referring to Lara Logan. She compared Dr. Fauci. She made a bad comparison. I wouldn't make it. But I love Willie Geist lecturing on how none of the hosts push back. Have any of you geniuses at MSNBC at the panel of Morning Joe, how many times was Trump compared to Hitler, to authoritarian dictators, to Stalin? Did we get any pushback from Willie G? I don't think we did. I think you guys nodded along. I hear crazier things on MSNBC every single day, but now they're clutching their pearls. Pete Hegseth did not push back on Lara Logan's bad comparison. You want to talk bad comparisons? Buckle up, MSNBC. We could do this all show. Comparisons are hard. No one knows that better than the brainiacs at MSNBC, let me tell you. All right, we're going to keep talking about this. 844-500-4242. We have the Alec Baldwin trailer. We have so much more to get to. Don't go anywhere. Taking your calls next.
This whole thing was staged.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. It is definitely a huge story. I'm looking at Fox right now. They're running with the Alec Baldwin story. It was a shocking claim. I don't know what we expected. I expected him to try to garner sympathy, which I don't blame him for. That's kind of the logical next step. But every move Alec Baldwin has made since this horrible, horrible tragedy has perplexed me. It's flummoxed me. Because if I were, forget a lawyer, if I were his wife, I would say, you gotta lay low. You know, you gotta get out of the public sphere for a long time. We gotta consult with the lawyers. We gotta sit down at the kitchen table and figure this out and figure out how we're gonna deal with it.
Tell people you're looking for the cat.
Whatever you're gonna tell them. But you don't pull over on the side of the road in Vermont and start going back and forth with like TMZ. And then your wife comes in and she's yelling and then you're yelling at her. It's so dysfunctional. And then you finally do sit down for the big interview, which we all suspected would happen eventually. I thought it would happen like a year from now. I didn't think it would be this soon. I feel like it's a bit insensitive to do it this soon. But he does it. And he comes out with this whopper of a claim. We're actually, before we bring on our next guest, you guys are very familiar with Mark Salinas. He offers us some legal analysis of these situations. Before we bring on Mark, I do want to play some of this trailer in case anyone's missed it. Forgive the dramatic editing by ABC. I don't know what they're thinking, but here's the trailer.
She was someone who was loved by everyone who worked with and liked by everyone who worked with and admired. Even now, I find it hard to believe that. It just doesn't seem real to me.
You haven't said much in public since that tragic accident. Why speak out now? I think the big question, and the one you must have asked yourself 1,000 times, how could this have happened?
Do we have the cut of him talking about how he didn't pull the trigger? Let's play that one more time.
It wasn't in the script for the trigger to be pulled.
Well, the trigger wasn't pulled. I didn't pull the trigger.
So you never pulled the trigger?
No. I would never point a gun at anyone and pull a trigger at them. Never.
Now, that's the headline everyone's running with. In the New York Post today, it says, I didn't pull the trigger. Weepy Alec Baldwin makes shocking claim on Rust tragedy. And I think everyone, not people who just know and understand how guns work, but just anyone who's been following this has a lot of questions. The interview teaser definitely raised a lot of questions. Joining us now from Silva and Salinas is Mark Salinas. Mark, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Hi, Grace. Thank you for having me.
Now, Mark, my first reaction when I saw this trailer was, does he not have a lawyer? And if he does have a lawyer, why aren't they telling him to stop talking to people? Is that a fair assessment of this, do you think?
It's more than fair. I mean, I can't even believe what he's trying to put out there in the public. It's stupid. I mean, who would ever go out there under these circumstances and say anything? No one would that had any type of lawyer that was helping them along in this process. And you got to believe Alec Baldwin has to have a ton of resources to get a really, really good legal team together to advise him. And I know they must have told him not to say anything. And I got to believe that they said, of all things, don't go out on TV and say a gun went off by itself. It's ridiculous.
No, it absolutely is. And the first thing I think of, Mark, because I had the same reaction during the Andrew Cuomo scandal, which was obviously very different. But I would always think, why is he still talking? Like every time you talk, you are, you know, weaving a web that you're not going to be able to get out of later. And I guess the common theme there, and it's not hard to draw when you look at Andrew Cuomo and then you look at Alec Baldwin, is that it must be arrogance. Have you ever encountered this, Mark, where someone is just so arrogant that they can get themselves out of something that they disregard common sense advice?
That's exactly what's going on. And you hit the nail right in the head. Andrew Cuomo and Alec Baldwin, they're both narcissists. And that's what's going on here. They can't get away from the limelight. And so they're going out trying to explain themselves away to the public with the most ludicrous explanations. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense at all. And it's just their personalities. And for an attorney, I'll tell you, when you're dealing with somebody like that, you can tell them what to do, give them your best advice. But in reality, at the end of the day, you know, people are going to make their own decisions on what they're going to do. And unfortunately, well, I'm not going to say unfortunately, what's going on with Alec Baldwin is going to come to bite him in the rear end.
Yeah, it's you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You can have all the legal advice in the world, but if you're insistent on sitting down with George Stephanopoulos to garner pity, then your lawyer is kind of in a tough spot. I guess my next question, Mark, would be, is he in more danger, I shouldn't say danger, but legal jeopardy, if he says the gun didn't go off and they, or I didn't pull the trigger and they can prove he did, versus if he just said it was a complete accident and I didn't know there was a bullet in there? Because when the story first broke, I thought, yeah, you can blame Alec Baldwin. You can say he should have checked the gun. You can say this and that. But at the end of the day, it was a horrible, horrible accident and he has to live with it for the rest of his life. But now he's claiming something completely different. Legally, is this going to be tougher for him to get out of?
It's a huge problem because why? It's easy to prove that the gun didn't go off by itself. So what's going to happen, it's going to look, and the prosecutors, if there's a criminal complaint issued here, are going to show that he's lying. And if he's subject to criminal liability, all he has to do is say nothing. And look, the Fifth Amendment says your right to remain silent, that's what your right is, and it can't be used against you. So for him to come out with this ludicrous explanation is only going to hurt him in the end. And not only on the criminal lawsuits, there's going to be civil lawsuits. And I remember, Grace, when we first started talking about this, I said, you know, I'm not sure about his own liability. We really got to look at the production company here. Well, lo and behold, it turns out Alec Baldwin was part of the production company here.
Right.
All of these people who might be responsible are employees of the production company. And that's where it ends right there. He's got big problems here.
I agree. I'm speaking with Mark Salinas. Mark, I know I didn't prep you with this, and I'm sorry if I'm putting you in the hot seat, but it just dawned on me that we have so many trials going on, and I would just love to get your quick take on them. The first one that I want to throw out there is the Jussie Smollett trial. I mean, do you think that he's, I guess, according to what I've read, if he's charged, he could face up to 3 years in jail. It seems like the prosecution has so much evidence against him. They have video footage of him doing a dry run of the fake hate crime. They have the two brothers. One of them was on the stand yesterday for, I think, 4 hours. Based off what I'm seeing with the evidence, I think he's going to see some jail time. But am I just an optimist?
Yeah, you know, with the media reports, if they're accurate as how the evidence is coming in, he's toast. What a fool. There's videos of him staging this in advance. And listen, you get all that evidence so you can make a good decision about your trial and whether or not you want to plea it out or not. So here we go. Here's another narcissist that wants to go and, you know, take his case to trial. You know, I don't see him getting away with this at all. I think that will end up in a conviction. I don't think he'll see jail time. That's one thing, though. I think that the likely scenario here is he gets some type of suspended sentence. It would be a conviction and maybe some type of probation involved.
Community service. That's what I was dreading. I think that will be the case, too.
You're going to go to a soup kitchen.
Yeah, but you're right, Mark. There's such an element with him of narcissism, even the way he walks into the courtroom, and he's still acting as if he was a victim here. He's still staying with that story. If you're his lawyer, don't you try to convince him, hey, listen, man, they have everything on you. They have video. They have the testimony of the brothers. They have the text messages. They have receipts. I mean, at what point do you have to say to your client, you can't keep going down this road. You have to admit you did something wrong.
Well, I certainly hope the lawyers are giving him that advice. I mean, it's plain to see. And any type of analysis, you know, you look at what the facts are here, you really should consider having some type of deal. Now, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. perhaps the prosecutors didn't offer him anything that was worth taking. So if the prosecutors come to him and say, look, we'll cut you a deal on this, but you have to plead guilty. Well, you know, sometimes lawyers do consult with their clients and they say, you know, your results at the end of this trial might not be much worse than what we're going to get prior to trial. So roll the dice. So we don't really know what's going on there. You know, that'll probably come out after the trial as to his reasons why he decided to go to trial on this.
Now, Mark, the last trial I'm going to ask you about is Ghislaine Maxwell. A lot of people are invested in this. They're tuning in, even though it's not televised. People are tuning in to see, you know, the transcripts and what's coming out of the courtrooms and the sketches. Have you seen anything from that trial that has surprised you thus far?
It's getting juicy. I'll tell you what's, well, I'm not sure if it's surprising, but from what I see, there are a lot of big names that are coming out here. And I think that's something I'm going to keep my eye on and see what's reported. I also found it kind of interesting with the defense strategy. They came out right away in the opening statements, making, you know, saying things of biblical statements, comparing her to Eve. Wow, that's really courageous. That takes a lot of courage. And courageous is the only word I could come up with right now for the, on the air. But I mean, really, they're really going all the way out there. And I'm not sure about that.
Mark, that was my first,
keep an eye on that too.
You know, that was my first reaction when I saw that they compared her to Eve from the Bible. I thought, I didn't say courageous. I said, that's a bold move by the lawyers there, thinking they could pull that one over on people. But who knows? Stranger things have happened. Mark Salinas, where can people find you if they have some questions of their own?
Silva Salinas, the office is up in North Andover, 978-741-2000, silvasalinas.com. Thanks, Grace.
Thank you so much, Mark. Love to get your take on all of the trials. I mean, this was a perfect day to have Mark on. I almost forgot how many trials are going on. And it's really, the Jussie Smollett one, I mean, I am just captivated. I never watched Empire, but he's getting me to tune into this. I'll tell you that much.
That is a level of commitment that he is putting forth right now that I did not expect, if we're being honest.
He's a method actor. How many times do I have to tell you, Jared, he's committed to his craft? And something I didn't really think about until I heard Howie say it, one of the more absurd elements of his original story was that, okay, so it's all planned out, you know, the noose, the bleach, the MAGA hats. But going into this situation, if you were to believe his original story, you'd have to go in there with the idea that people recognized him from the show Empire. I'm sorry. I'm not being mean. It was like, what, Jared? A popular show for a month, maybe? I know it had a couple seasons. I knew one person who watched it, and the one person I know who watched it always watches terrible television. It's like a guarantee. He tells me to watch something, I mark it down in my head and say, that's probably an awful show.
Well, so, I remember even at the time, they were talking, you know, there was some scuttlebutt that this might have been a staged event to drum up publicity for the show because it was failing. Now that went away pretty quickly, but I remember that was out there. So even at the time, ratings for the show were suffering.
Yeah, oh, they were on the decline.
Yeah, or on the decline, yes.
Well, in the report, it says, or in the article I read, it said something like he got a letter sent to the set of Empire, a homophobic letter, and they weren't taking it seriously enough. So I guess he had to take matters into his own hands.
Who did he hire to do that?
Crazy. Just craziness. 844-500-4242. We'll take your calls. We'll do a little Fauci when we come back. Maybe talk a little bit more about Alec Baldwin. I am stunned that this was the route he decided to go. I mean, it's very Andrew Cuomo in style. The Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack is back. This is their most popular offer. You'll have one for your basement, your first floor, and your second floor. And I also want to point out, Jared, right now is a great time for people to give them away as gifts.
Yeah, because you always need fresh air in the house or some type of circulation in the house, especially in the winter when the windows aren't open and you can't always smell your house, but other people can. And even if they're coming over for the holidays, you got the wonderful smells of baking cookies, what have you. There's still, if you got a dog, if you got some funk, it's still there. But the Eden Pure Thunderstorm is fantastic because you just plug it in, you turn it on, and it starts ionizing the air, which creates a super oxygen. And that's what gets rid of any allergens, odors, pollutants, different
smoke.
Things in the air, smoke, just stuff you don't want to be breathing.
And I don't want to make this into a thing where I tell people how bad of a cook I am because I don't want that reputation. I just got married. I'm trying to get better at it. But I told a story the other day about how I burnt the pizza.
You didn't actually burn the pizza. The oven burned the pizza.
The oven burnt the pizza.
You have to learn
right?
from Alec.
Exactly. And you know what? We need some common sense oven reform here. But I guess because of that, because I put the pizza directly in the oven, a piece of cheese fell off and that started to burn. So last night when I was cooking something else, the smoke started up
back,
again.
Yep.
But guess what? I had my Eden Pure Thunderstorm. Turned that sucker on all night. Woke up this morning, totally gone. It's a really great product, and right now is the best time to get it. You can get one for yourself, one for someone who listens to the show. Maybe put one in your car. The possibilities are endless. And unlike other air purifiers, these are small, compact. They don't make a lot of noise, and they work very well. So go to EdenPureDeals.com, click my name, and put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 for their special 3-pack. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Click my name and use code word GRACE3. We'll be right back with your calls. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. It was announced today that, and Jared, I think I'm going to have you tell people this. We have news from Germany.
Yes, Germany has announced that they are locking down unvaccinated people and mandating shots. So all the fears about the unvaccinated, unwashed, being treated as second-class citizens, being denied society, everything that's going on in Australia and Germany seems to be happening.
Why don't they just follow Fauci's advice and then COVID would be over?
Yeah.
According to MSNBC.
Why does Germany keep pouncing?
And seizing and weaponizing.
Yes.
All right, let's go to Marty. You're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Marty.
Hello, Grace.
Hello.
Yeah, I listen to your show all the time, and I love it.
Thank you.
In 1982, I had something very similar happen. My nephew in West Palm Beach was playing with his father's gun. It was a piece of junk, a replica of a cowboy gun. And the gun was never loaded, according to his father. My nephew was 12 years old, and he was playing Russian roulette, and he killed himself by accident.
Ugh.
So I have a little bit of experience, plus I was a cop for 20 years in New York. I carried a gun. I know something about guns. I once did a test. I was blowing dust off of my gun because I live in a dusty house. And one of my compadres on the police department was getting nervous and saying, watch out. That's dangerous. So I did a test. I took my gun and I cocked it and I put it on the table. And then I started insulting the gun, talking about your mother this and your mother that. Guess what? The gun didn't go off. The gun needs a human finger to pull the trigger. Also, there's one other case. I don't know if people are talking about it. I have an automatic that I was doing some target practice, and sometimes you have a bad round that can either jam or it can fizzle, where it's a delayed reaction to go off. But on the Alex Baldwin set, they had an armorer. Now, I have a friend who's an armorer who used to be an armorer for 20 years in the police. And people who have that position are supposed to know something about guns. It's not something of a touchy-feely nature. So I think the whole situation stinks. And the only reason why they're bantering it around so much is because of the money thing. If this was Joe Blow, who was a taxi driver, and he shot somebody by accident, obviously it's not an intentional thing. They'd get the person for involuntary manslaughter, and they'd probably give him either a year in prison or probation. So it's cut and dry. But all this talk, all this nonsense, whatever, is just nonsense. It's because the elite can't be touched, and that's what I have to say.
Marty, excellent call, and what a sad, tragic story that you just shared with us. I'm so sorry about that. That's a nightmare situation. But yeah, I agree with you. I think that if he had just been honest about this and just, you know, asked for, sometimes in life when horrible things happen, and there's no doubt that this was horrible, you just have to ask for mercy and hope that people can grant you that. But trying to say that you didn't pull the trigger, I don't think that's the right move. Now, of course, you know, he's in his own situation. He's making his own decisions. His lawyers can lecture him about what to do and what not to do. But I can't imagine what he did yesterday was going along with his legal advice. We don't really have time for another call, so I'm going to hold off. But I'll take you guys when we come back. 844-500-4242. There's so much news to get to. And we also will be talking about the Michigan school shooting, another very tragic story. An atrocity, really, and I will be reading the names of the students who died or killed when we return. Very sad, and one of them was extremely heroic. One of the football players tried to stop this madman, so we will get to this on the other side, and a lot more to get to. Don't go anywhere. Also, Woker Jokes coming up at 1:30. Big show today. This is The Grace Curley Show.